Well, today it's my privilege to introduce to you a great friend of the house. He'll be sharing tonight again. Dr. Leon is not only the author of the Bible school curriculum, but he's a mighty, mighty man of God and a brilliant thinker in the Word of God. I love exposing us as a church to people who have great depth in the Bible. There are people out there that have all kinds of skills and talents, but you know, it's still that teaching of the Word of God that transforms the world. It really is. Without the Word of God, you can have all the talents in the world and it won't change. The Bible is that incorruptible seed, amen, that transforms and grows into God's harvest in our lives. I respect Dr. Leon immensely. He's one of the individuals that I look at, and his input and his opinion on things. I know his mind does not bend or turn based on the turning of a culture or people's desire. It's right upon what the Bible says. And so for me, he's like one of those generals in the kingdom for me. And I love that. When I was writing the book we published this last year, Relevant Acts, it was Dr. Leon was one of the key individuals that I wanted to read the book first, because I knew with his stamp of approval on it, first of all, I knew then biblically it was right on point. And, you know, there's other people, you want them to read it and like it, but, you know, you also send it to certain people kind of with a little bit of anxiety saying, what if he doesn't like it? What if something wrong? Because I knew if Leon approved of it, it was like Jesus approved of it. You know, it's very similar to that. So would you please welcome Dr. Leon as he comes to the platform to impart and share into our lives today. Yeah, amen.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm really working at trying to be like Jesus. There's still a whole lot of Leon that's got to change, though. But I do appreciate what your pastor says. I do love the Word of God. I've read it and studied it and meditated on it. And every time I read it, what I try to do is to actually climb into the Word, or get the Word to climb into me. And then I just let it run its free course in my heart and mind and imagination. And I have found that the Word is unchanging. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God abides forever. I'm so looking forward to the graduation tonight. I think it's our fourth graduating class since we've first begun. And tonight will be a very special night. If you are new to this church and you haven't had a look at the school, tonight come on out and see the impact of God's Word in these graduates, and then maybe you'll be signing up for the new class in the fall. And I know that that will enrich your lives. We've got over 200,000 students worldwide, of which this graduating class is a part of my million student goal. And the reason I've chosen a million students is in my years of ministry, I've reached and led over a million souls to Christ, but I'm more committed to making disciples than just people raising a hand and praying a prayer in great meetings. You know, to see someone come forward and receive Christ, that is the greatest miracle, but to see them activated, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the truth of God's Word. Now you have world changers, not just people that are going to attend a meeting, have a shift in behavior for a short season, but people that are transformed, changed, empowered. And I know the heart of your pastors for this church, they're not just trying to grow an audience and have great meetings, but they want to raise up great people. Great people are people that are filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the truth of God's Word, people that carry the anointing, the life, the light, the power of God to this generation. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you have felt that God is stirring you to go higher, to go deeper, to go further? A couple of weeks ago, I was with a friend, and he said, you know, his wife had just passed, and he's a young man. But he said one of the last words that she spoke to him was to go higher. And I believe she wasn't just speaking it as his wife, but she's speaking it on behalf of God, to go higher. How many of you want to go higher? I was meditating on that after he shared with me what his wife had given to him. And I thought, how do you go higher? How do you go deeper? How do you go further? One step at a time. Yeah, one step at a time. sometimes we set goals that are so elaborate, so great, that it's almost impossible to achieve them. But if I can make one small shift in my life, that one small shift can be life transforming. People set a goal to read the Bible in a year. What about setting a goal to take 30 minutes a day? Just do the first day and watch the shift. Just one small thing is going to change your life. It's one decision is going to shape your life, not 1,000 decisions. For my ministry to go higher, I've made some small shifts. And as a result, I've just seen a breakthrough. I've got to a point where the harvester is overtaking the sower. I'm sowing, but it's like the blessing is overtaking me, the growth. But it's not been because I've made you shifts. I've made small shifts, but I've been consistent in those small shifts. God's got His hand on this church. God's got His hand upon your life. But God's calling you. I was meditating on this thought. God's calling you. Every one of you is called of God. We often think of the called as the missionaries, the apostles, the evangelists, the pastors. But everyone is called by God. The grace that called Apostle Paul is the grace that called you. And God's got His hand on your life, and there's a calling for this generation to go higher, further, deeper. And as I was meditating on this thought, you know, when Jesus came to the crowd and the crowd came to Him, people came to Him and He came to them. He's coming to you as you come to Him. If you draw near to Him, He's drawing near to you. And the Bible says, and Jesus healed them all. All of them were healed. How many of you are longing for the day when everyone is healed? Do you believe it's possible? I believe it's possible that we can have such holy manifestations of God's grace that everyone is healed. All were healed. And then there came the time when He took the kids' bread and the disciples broke it. And the Bible says, and they fed them all. How many of you know what all means? Everyone, not one was left out. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God filled that house and then filled, the Bible says, all of them. They were all filled with the Spirit. So they were all fed, they were all healed, they were all healed, fed, and filled. None were excluded. If I said to you at the close of the meeting, everyone go to the brown wall, the wood wall. Go to the wood wall and there'll be $1,000 for each one of you. How many of you would go to the wood wall? Who wouldn't go? You wouldn't think like, oh, that couldn't have included me. That's everyone else but me. Everyone else is chosen, everyone else is called, but I alone am left out. You would say, I'm included, especially if there were a great reward. You'd be the first there. I would. No, it's not for you. No, the pastor said, all of you go to the wood wall and you will get $1,000. I'm here because the pastor said, I'm included. You are included in God's plan for this generation. You are just as called as your pastors, just as called as the missionaries, just as called as those who have left secular employment and gone into full-time ministry. You are a part of God's plan. You are, in fact, God's master plan. He chose you before the foundation of the earth. You were hand-picked by God for this generation. If I had the choice to be a part of the early church or today's church, I would choose today. If I could be alive in the days of Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, Amy Simple McPherson, or Mary Woodworth or Edda, or to be alive today, I would choose today. This is the church's greatest hour. This generation of Christians may be the generation that will see the coming of the Lord. We may be the last Christian generation that will complete the work of ministry that is to be done on the earth. There is a strong possibility. I was reading in the book of Acts chapter 2, and this was spoken by Peter, but he was speaking the words of the prophet Joel, and it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God." When did the last days begin? I think the last days begun when Jesus said, "It is finished." And we entered into what is called the church age, the age of grace. The day of Pentecost, Peter stands up. They've all been filled with the Spirit of God. And he says, "This is what the prophet Joel said. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." For us to be the recipients of the Holy Spirit, we must be saved. And these men and women that were gathered in that upper room had received what God had for their lives. They had embraced the breath of God. They were born again. But there was something that they needed. They needed the empowerment of the Spirit. The empowerment of the Spirit is not for some Christians. It's not for Pentecostal charismatic congregations. It's for every believer. This isn't like an optional extra that we could select. Well, that's for those crazy Christians, those holy rollers. When last did you see a holy roller anyway? What is a holy roller? They were all filled. Jesus commanded them to stay in Jerusalem. How many of you know if Jesus commands you to do something, it would be smart to do it? He came to 500 after resurrection. 120 showed up. 380 were missing from that glorious event. Some of their relatives are still in the church today. They're still missing. Not showing up when they meant to be there. But that was an important day. Because it was the beginnings of the last days. Well, if that was 2,000 years ago, then today, we may be in the last seconds of the last days, the last moments before the coming of the Lord. We will not accomplish the work of God that is to be done by being weak. God is raising up a bold people, not arrogant, bold. It says, "In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." For all flesh to be the recipients of the outpouring of the Spirit, it has to get into some of us. On that day, 120 received what God had, and then out of their lives would flow rivers of living water coming into the parched territory of lives, homes, cities, and nations. God wants to touch this generation. For God to touch this generation, He wants to get His power on you. And to carry His power, you have to be bold in the Spirit. He says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." For our sons and our daughters, both biological and spiritual sons and daughters to prophesy, there's got to be prophesying adults. I've learned this, that unless you are bold, you will never prophesy. Many people have been in meetings where God says to them, "I want you to share this word," and they deal with the fear. They can't step out and give the word. They've been in places and God says, "Go to speak to that person," but they won't. They keep that word in their heart because they're afraid to launch out. God wants to make a shift in our lives. Fear has to be attacked and replaced with boldness. Be bold in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Why? Because bold people will carry the power of God to this generation. Our sons and our daughters will be spiritual because we are spiritually bold and we will release it to them. Passive parents don't release. Bold parents release the word of God to their sons and daughters. Spiritual sons and daughters will be the recipients of the word through bold leadership, giving it to them. And it goes on to say, "Your young men shall see visions." Why does God give visions? And He gives to old men dreams. Why is God giving us this holy revelation? Because He wants people to run with the vision, to get the God dream and to engage their lives into His purpose and into His plan. God's calling people, both young and old, to run with the vision. But I've learned this, that only bold people will engage into the vision. The timid will step away. They'll deny the impact of the vision or the dream of God to be released in their lives. And then they live their lives, and then one day when they're old, they say, God gave me a dream, but I put it aside. God's giving dreams and visions, anointed purpose, anointed plans to people, because He wants us to fulfill what He's given us. Your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Both men and women will run together as anointed carriers of God's plan and purpose, servant-hearted people, because servant-hearted people will live for something bigger than themselves. God is giving His spirit to bold, servant-hearted people. I want you to notice this. Servant-hearted and boldness together. The measure of humility will be the measure of authority. Servants are humble, but servants carry authority because they are stewards of what has been entrusted to them. And so servant-hearted people will be the carriers of the authority of God. And it says, and they shall prophesy. In other words, they'll declare the word of God into the spiritual dimension and into people's lives. The word of God. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. So there will be signs and wonders in the earth, in the heavens, and then through anointed vessels. Bold people will carry the anointing to this generation. Bold people. Bold people will pray mountain-moving prayers. Bold people will release faith that will bring miracles into someone's life, into someone's home. The timid will back away. But over and above that, bold people will carry the gospel. There are three areas of ministry that we all have. Number one, and let me qualify that. Our greatest ministry is to God, to worship Him and to know Him. Once we've ministered to God, then God can minister through us. So everything I'm about to say is the overflow of our love relationship with God. And so it's not performance driven, it's love based, it's love originated, and it's released through vessels that know God and love God. Your first ministry that every believer has is to share the gospel. We are all called to be carriers of the gospel. The Bible says we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Bold people will carry the gospel. And every Christian is called to be a carrier of that message to this generation. Secondly, you to have the ministry or the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Every Christian is anointed. Every Christian is gifted. And so you to flow in those unique giftings and callings. Not one person can have them all. But together we make up the full representation of Christ to the church and to our generation. So God uniquely gifts each one of us, and out of the fullness of the Spirit, you release those gifts. So that's the second area of ministry that we all called into, is the uniqueness of God's gifting upon your life. And then the third area that we are all called to is to serve in our church and whatever God gives us to do within that place where we call our church home. Of course, all of us are called to give, to pray, and to go. None are excluded. Some are evangelists, and that's like their driving thing. Some are intercessors, and that's their driving thing. But just because you're not an intercessor doesn't mean you don't pray. Just because you are not an evangelist doesn't mean you don't evangelize. Then you step into that calling, even though it's not your dominant gift. Some people are actually gifted to give. generosity. There is a gifting of generosity, but you know, if you're not gifted in generosity, it doesn't mean that you have the right to be stingy. You still give. It's just some people are uniquely gifted in giving. And so they serve through the distribution or the redistribution of that which is entrusted through their lives. But we're all called to give. But some are uniquely gifted in that. And so we're to serve in those three areas. Today I want to focus on being bold in the gospel. Bold in the gospel. Why must we be bold in the gospel? Because the devil wants to mute the church. I travel so much. I travel about 40 weeks of the year. I'm so seldom home. And TV is not a huge priority in my life. There's like one or two shows. I don't put a guilt trip on people for watching TV, but it's not a big thing in my life. But it's quite embarrassing when I get home. I don't even know how to work the remote control because I'm never there. Maybe it's my age is given away. But I also never get the right to handle it because my wife's always got the remote control. Click, click. Can I have that? No, I'm watching this. I never really learned to master it. A couple of weeks ago, my wife was away with the grandkids and I was alone at home. And I put on the TV and I started hitting buttons, hoping for the thing to work. And you know when sometimes you put it on and the volume's super loud, you try and hit the volume down. I couldn't even find the buttons. I'm like going, I didn't have my glasses, which made it even worse. I was like just hitting buttons, hoping for the best. And then I hit the mute button and everything was silent. But of course, I couldn't hear what was going on. Well, that's what the devil wants to do to the church. He wants to mute us. The greatest message that we have is called the gospel or the good news. And we are called to that. But I found this, that only bold people will carry the gospel. People are intimidated by the opinion of man. And society is like so antagonistic towards the church that I believe that the church needs a download of holy boldness. Boldness. I was praying for the spirit of boldness to come upon Christians. I was going down the line and I got to one guy and he put up his hands. Please don't pray for me. I said, what's up? He said, I don't want to be bald. I said, I'm not praying for the spirit of boldness. I'm praying for the spirit of boldness. My South African accent, he couldn't get the word. He thought I was imparting boldness. We need a download of boldness. Now, he does sound like he says bald. Yeah, it does sound like bald. No, boldness, B-O-L-D, not B-A-L-D. You notice just like one letter can change the whole meaning of that thing. I said, dude, boldness, bold, not bald. Almost wanted to put baldness on him just for interrupting the flow. You're going to walk with a permanent buzz. My son in India, he runs an organization there. He's lived there for 4 years. The last time I saw him, he came home. When I saw him the last time, his hair was down. He had like long, hippie. You know, I was so proud of him. Like what I used to be, I could see in my son. And he came home with a buzz. I was actually disappointed. Oh man, you look so good with long hair. Now it's got a buzz. And I'm thinking, that's just like work. I'll give you a permanent buzz. You'll never have to go to a hairdresser again. Why bold? Because of the urgency of the hour. This gospel must get to our generation. You know, America, the church is actually shrinking. But I believe before the return of the Lord that there is going to be a great move of God. May that move begin in our hearts right now. I've never seen God revive people other than for one thing, and that is redemption. Because, you know, I was reading from Acts chapter 2. It says, and before the coming of the Lord, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the empowerment of their lives was for the gospel. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when that the Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So it's for the gospel. And then in Acts chapter 4, it says in verse 13, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained, and they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. They had just raised the man at the gate called Beautiful. And then they began to preach, and 5,000 souls were saved. Just remember, Peter had denied Jesus. Everyone had fled from Jesus, and now those who were afraid were bold. They were bold in the Spirit. They were bold in faith. They were bold in prayers. They were bold in the gospel. Because of Peter's boldness in the gospel, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were saved. 5,000 were saved. And then after this event, they were intimidated. They go back and they pray. Guess what they want to pray? They say, God, in Acts chapter 4:29, and now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. What word? The gospel. Bold carriers of the gospel. And not just word, by stretching out your hand to heal. So the gospel is combined with anointed lives, Spirit-filled lives. These signs shall follow them who believe. Anointed lives are carriers of the power of God. Did you know that God wants to use you to release the anointing to bring healing? I was like blown away when I was first saved and I read Mark 16. These signs shall follow them who believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And I started to go. I looked for everyone that was sick. And I started to pray for people. My mom, who thought I was like in a cult, she was like, are you a part of a cult? I said, what's a cult? I said, I'm born again. She said, oh, you're one of those. But then she started to see people healed. She was like my marketing manager. She would phone all our relatives. All our relatives were sick. Everyone was sick in my family. Everyone, you'd go visit them. They'd pull out all their pills and they'd line them up. This is for water. This is for my bladder. This is for my blood pressure. This is for my migraines. And I was a little kid. I was sitting just looking at pills. So I started praying for all these sick relatives, and God started to heal them. My mom would phone them. You've got to get Leon to come pray for you. God's going to heal you. Because I wasn't behind a pulpit. I was working from the pulpit of my life. I wasn't an anointed, ordained minister. I was a believer. These signs shall follow them who believe. They'll lay hands on the sick. And as they went preaching the gospel, God was confirming the word. What word? The gospel, with signs following. Do you know that as you go out and you share the gospel with the power of God, that lives are going to be changed? Families are going to be changed. Relatives that are dying are going to be healed. Someone is going to get their miracle, not because they're in an evangelistic meeting with a great, well-known preacher, but because you are releasing the word of God in that community. And your world is going to know that there is a God in the land whose name is Jesus. Hallelujah. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Not done by the apostles, but done in the name. As they went about preaching Jesus, God was working through them. And God wants to work through you. But it's going to take boldness to prophesy. It's going to take boldness to preach the gospel. It's going to take boldness to lay hands on the sick and to watch them recover. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled. When it says all, who's all? all of them that were there, all of us today can receive a download of the spirit of boldness to carry the gospel with signs to our generation. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word. What word? The gospel of God with boldness. Hallelujah. With boldness. Why bold? Because the devil wants to mute the church. He wants to silence it. How will they hear without a preacher? How will they hear without bold preachers? How will they hear if we're intimidated, muted by circumstances, by the opinion of society? It's like everyone wants to shut the church down. In a nation where in our currency it says, in God we trust. I'm working in India where it's actually illegal to preach the gospel. It's illegal to go and have church meetings. We have to go in and tell stories. We take the Bible and we tell stories and we get invited into homes. And then what we do is once we've told the stories, we demonstrate the stories by laying hands on people and they've been delivered. Demons are coming out of them and they've been healed in those meetings. And then we plant a church. You say, well, that's for India. It can work in America. Every one of you knows someone that is unsaved. Every one of you knows someone that is sick. You won't get them to church, but you can take the glory of God to them in their home. And if we each start to pray and we start to target someone, we can change the spiritual state of our nation one soul at a time, one family at a time. Like I said, it's not these huge strides. It's one step, one family, one. Sorry, it's my little buzzer telling me my time is up. I hear you, Siri. Thank you. One family at a time, one home at a time, but it will take boldness to get this done. There are four things we've got to do in the gospel. Number one, it's word. You've got to preach the word. God was confirming the word, so you've got to know the word. That's why you want to come to Bible school. That's why you want to be equipped and trained. You've got to know the word. You've got to know the gospel. Number two, it's with signs. Demonstrations of God. Just you lay your hands by faith. It's really simple. You can say, this side goes to head. If you get stuck, you can get a tattoo. Put it there and say, this side goes to head. You lay hands on their head. If you get confused, you can put this side top, this side on their head. In the name of Jesus. If you can't remember that, you can tattoo it on your hand as well. In the name of Jesus. Be healed. Or just get a permanent marker until you become confident in it. Because I don't want to promote being tattooed. Be healed. That's it. You believe. You have faith. And you stretch out your hand and you lay hands, the Bible says, and they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And if they're demonized, something will start to shift in their lives. And then again, don't, Pastor, there's demons manifesting in this home. In the name of Jesus, come out. It's that simple. Again, you can write it on your hand. In the name of Jesus, come out. If there's shaking, falling into like fetal positions, shivering, come out. Give you a quick coaching in the supernatural. And then, so it's the word, it's demonstration, compassion. Compassion. The gospel is to the poor. Our works, let your good works be seen before all men. And so it is with compassion. We feed the hungry. We clothe the naked. We visit those who are in hospital. This is how the gospel must be preached. The gospel is always going to be the suffering to the suffering and to the poor and to the needy. And so we must never shut that part out of the church life. And then number four, so it's word, it's power, and it's the gospel. And number four, it's our lifestyle. Our life is our message. So our message must not be a contradiction to what we preach. So our behavior, our character, our morality must be a part of our witness. Those four things. And you can change your world if you would be bold in the gospel. God wants you to be bold. I want to pray for you. Let's stand. How many of you would like to see your family saved? How many of you have unsaved relatives, unsaved colleagues, family, friends? How many of you believe that it is possible? It is possible that this generation that is today sinners can be saved. Do you remember when the gospel came to you? You didn't think you'd ever be saved. When I was saved, a preacher came to me and said, Leon. He was at school with me, he was a kid at school with me. He said, you're the last person I ever would have thought would be born again. I said, thank you very much. I knew I was bad, but I didn't realize I was that bad. How many of you know that they can also be saved? Today they seem impossible, but maybe you were impossible and yet God got to you. God can get to them. Don't write them off. Don't think that it's too bad. I was thinking today, God, you can save the modern day Sauls, the persecutors of the church. I hate what some of those ISIS people are doing, the murdering, but I was praying, God, if you could save Apostle Saul, you can save them. I'm an old military man. I'd like to just hit the button and send a missile, but I also want to be a preacher as well. I'm saying, God, can you send conviction? And then their testimony is going to insult everything that they've ever done. And just like Saul with the chiefest of sinners, now a church builder, he was trying to destroy the church. God, you can change them. That was my prayer right this morning. God can get to your relatives. How many of you have unsaved relatives? Can you believe God for them? Yeah. Colleagues at work, you can believe God for them. But walk with wisdom where and how. Don't be arrogant. Be bold. There's a difference. I was in a restaurant the other day with a preacher and evangelist, and the waitress was busy and he was trying to witness. And I actually felt bad for her because she wanted to be nice and respectful because we were going to tip her. But if we weren't going to tip her, I bet I knew what she would say. Just back off, bud. You know what I'm saying? Be wise, be smart how you witness in the workplace and where you're at. Wisdom goes with it. Boldness is not alone. Boldness is wrapped around wisdom. Humility. But how many of you want to reach someone? See someone reached? Is it possible that this year you could reach a family? I believe it's possible. Right now, just lift that name of that person and say, God, thank you. And then mention their name to the Lord. I'm praying for them right now. Pray for that relative. Pray for that family, that son. Or what about a backslider friend that once served God that had got wounded, offended, tempted, they led away? Lift that name and say, God, would you use me to help restore the prodigals around my life? People that once preached that are now living like the world. You can be light to them, love to them, forgiveness and redemption to them. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. I want to say it again. God wants to use you. But to do this, you need boldness. How many of you would like to be bold in the gospel? Bold with wisdom, bold with sensitivity, bold with humility. I want to be bold. I am hugely bold. I'm so bold. I just jump off cliffs, out of planes. I do all kinds of things, but I'm not talking about adrenaline rush bold. I'm talking about passion bold. I'm not talking about, you know, an adrenaline junkie. I'm talking about in the gospel. How many of you want to be bold in the gospel? I want to activate faith in you. That's why I'm asking these questions. I feel like people are being switched on in their capacity for vision and dreams right now. The prophetic, these signs shall follow them who believe. You want to be activated in the supernatural of God. You don't want to just have a prayer language, but you want signs. You want to see family healed and touched. God, would you place your strong hand on lives right now to cause them to become bold in the gospel. Touch them, fill them, activate their lives in this, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let fear that causes people to live in torment be broken off lives. The fear of rejection, the fear of being misunderstood, the fear of rejection, I break it off lives right now. And I pray, God, for a transformation that takes place in our thinking, in our identity. That God, as carriers of the word, we'd have a God confidence. The fear of not seeing things happen. God, let faith arise and replace doubt and fear and unbelief. That signs, wonders, and miracles would follow the church. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Let's stay standing for a minute. And go ahead, ushers, they're going to be at the back. It's our culture here that whenever the Lord brings us individuals and ministry opportunities, we love to sow into those ministries an offering, a special gift. And so why don't you go ahead and take out an extra offering right now. You can write your checks to Life Church, and the entire offering will go towards Dr. Leon's work around the globe to raise up those million disciples. He's already got 200,000 going on, and we're going to press and believe God for the full million. Amen? Amen. Go ahead. You can celebrate that, because what you're sowing is life-changing. I love... was it in this? Did you share with them in this service about the 24 imams? No? Okay. In the different services, he was sharing about some of the work going on. He talked to you about the 200,000 students, talked to you about the 1,200 Bible colleges going on right now, schools going on. In India, in particular, or is Africa, is Ethiopia? There's a whole village that has been turned right side up for the Lord, and there was 24 Muslim imams, which are like the preachers of mosques, that have committed their lives to Christ, and they're going through the school that we're going through right here, the very same curriculum, and they're going back to their mosques to preach that same gospel. We as people have to be convinced again that the gospel, the word of the Lord, of Jesus, can transform the world still. I don't know why we've exchanged it for something else. We're looking for another answer rather than the answer that Jesus gave us 2,000 years ago. It's changed the world before. It'll continue to change the world. And the Bible says that that gospel produces fruit. And that's the answer. And so it's that simplicity of it. So go ahead and pull out an offering right now. We're going to pray over it. And as you leave, the ushers will be at the back doors, and you can make sure that you deposit it on your way out. But I want to challenge you in something that was stirred on while Leon was talking. As a church, our church, now you might be new here. I want to help you with something. Our ultimate desire is to become whatever Jesus has dreamed for our lives to become. Amen? So our desire is not just to sit and attend church or to hear sermons and messages. It's great that we can hear good messages, great teaching, and things like that, but our aspiration is to become the words that we hear. Do you understand that? To become. So if the Lord is talking to us today about boldness, then I believe that's the Lord talking to us. It's not a topic of a sermon. It means the Lord has directed your steps to be here today, and He's not telling you be bold. He's imparting that boldness into your life. It's like a supernatural deposit. You know, it's one thing we have to say, that's right, I got to go back to work, and I know I need to be more brave. We're not talking about being brave. We're talking about receiving boldness from the Lord, so it's not 5 years away that you can start fulfilling the call of God on your life. It can start today. Amen, somebody. Are you hearing that? So the Lord's offering it, and when Leon was saying, do you want boldness, and you put your hand up, we believe that word of the Lord. That's what Peter and them were praying. God, just give us boldness. In Acts 4. Why? Because they had been bold in the past and they needed a second dose. And some of us, our best days were in the past, but you know what? God's not done with you. He's calling you off the bench into the field. Amen. And we need boldness again. And it wasn't a course on boldness. It wasn't go learn to be more courageous. It was God, give it to me now. Give it to me now. Give me boldness. And that way, tomorrow morning, you can get on with the call of God on your life. Isn't that awesome? Can we believe that something supernatural transpired when you, by faith, even if you felt nothing? I don't know why sometimes we're waiting for tingles, we're waiting for goosebumps and tears. Did I get boldness? Did I not get boldness? By faith, whether you felt anything or not, I receive boldness. And so, Lord, now I ask for opportunities. Can you be brave enough? Now I'm asking you to be brave to ask God to give you opportunities to test that boldness this week. Lord, this week when someone needs prayer, I'm going to offer my hand. And if I have to write on it, I'll write on it. I'm going to offer my hand. If someone's talking about their trouble, I'm going to say, let me tell you an answer to the trouble. Let me invite you to a conference at our church. Let me invite you to next weekend services. I am going to start opening my mouth because you know what? The devil is opening his mouth and we have a greater word, a better word for our friends and our neighbors. And so I'm just telling you, you heard a word today that the Lord wanted you to hear. That's why you're here. And now I believe by faith that you have received that which God has destined for you to receive. Now go expecting. Amen? All right, let's pray over these offerings. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we receive that boldness by faith. We raised our hand. We acknowledged, I want to transform my family. I want to be used of God. I want to do something greater with my life. And Lord, we acknowledge that we need more boldness to preach. We believe in this gospel. We believe in Jesus. We believe that you're the answer. We believe in all these things. But there's been times we've been intimidated. There's been times that we've been afraid. There's been times that we've been more concerned about us than about the person that needs Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you that as of today, we come out of agreement with those old attitudes and habits. And Lord, we lay hold of and we receive your boldness. We believe and we receive. And so Lord, I pray this week, as we're with friends and we're with neighbors and we're at work, that you would give us opportunities, Lord, that we would see signs following this word. And this week, we'd even come back next week enthusiastic saying, God did it. He allowed me to pray for someone. He opened an opportunity for me to share my testimony. And God, we go now. We will walk through those doors. When they come, we're not going to miss them. We're not going to somehow be ignorant of them. We're looking for them, and we thank you that your boldness is inside of us, and we walk through with confidence, and we give you praise, and we give you thanks, and we sow these offerings to continue to make disciples all around the world. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you as you go. Amen. If I can get the prayer teams to come to the front, if they can be available, if you need prayer, they'll be up here to pray for you. Thank you so much.